This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul. Well, look at us sitting here together. It's quite lucky, really. Wildly unlikely, even. Us being here, existing at the same time, causes rational thought to flutter. Did you know that if you look up at the sky with your naked eye, you can see 1,000 stars? With specialized scientific observational advances and equipment like Hubble and the James Webb telescopes, humans can confidently say that there are around 200 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. And orbiting some of those closer stars have been identified planets, and there are about 200 or you know, give or take 200 that are Earth-like and may exist in the habitable zone, or what's charmingly referred to as the Goldilocks zone. It's no wonder civilizations and religions rise and fall looking up to these celestial expanses and wish, hope, and wonder. And you're here. And so are we. So thank you for spending your time with us. My name's Jake.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Wow.
Deep. Yeah, no.
Thank I feel you like we should have played like the Interstellar music over that or something.
Ooh, yeah. Have you seen that woman who plays the organ?
You start that druggy crap on God me. Damn. I will walk your happy ass out of here in 2 seconds.
Yeah, her name is Anna. Her name is Anna something. I follow her. And she's the resident organist at Royal Albert Hall.
Yep, that's the person I'm talking about. If you haven't checked her out, she's fantastic. She plays the organ, and it's a lot of fun to watch. She played in a concert for Aurora, the Swedish singer, I only saw clips of it, but it sounded like it was a banger. So,
was I saw that as well. Very, very good. Well, anyway, here we are. New year. How are you
new
guys?
New year. Gosh, good. yeah, good. It's chilly here in North Carolina, which isn't often the case. So I'm
70 or?
No, it's been dropping into the 20s at night. And
that's colder than it is here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I've been trying to keep the chickens warm. When they go into the roost, I try to push them together and
wait, you have chickens?
Sure, they stay nice and warm. My in-laws, who we bought the house from, they had chickens, and they're like, this comes with the house. We're like, great. And then we've since bought new chickens.
You must be loving that right now.
High egg prices.
Yeah.
What's are you that? Kidding? In this economy, no. It's great. And they actually just we bought new chickens in the spring, and they just started laying. Our last three chickens started laying right on the winter solstice, which was strange for chickens, but we'll take it. So now we got lots of eggs. How about you guys? Happy New Year! What's going on,
Matt? You want to go? You just got back from a big trip.
Just got back from Mexico.
Olé.
Yeah, it was great. Kids had their first all-inclusive experience, which is fun. They got to experience a different culture, try some different foods. It was good. Good all around. I did get sick on the mud butt side, which sucked. But outside of that, it doesn't suck to go to an all-inclusive and actually lose weight. I will say that.
I mean, yeah.
I'll take it.
Not many people can say that. It looked like you guys had a lot of fun.
A New Year's party, or
they did. Yeah, there was like a they had a DJ and all that kind of stuff. The kids, the kids couldn't really hang with, even though we were 3 hours behind, they still couldn't do the time difference, but got to see a couple of celebrities too. Saw Mr. Michael Vick and Nick Kroll were both staying at the resort we were at, which is cool.
Cancun's in, not Cancun. Wait, yeah, Cancun is in, I didn't realize it was in the
Atlantic.
Atlantic time zone, or the Eastern mm-hmm. time zone.
It is indeed.
How is it for you and Kara getting back? I feel like that time change is such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, we got back on Sunday. We landed back home. It was weird. It's always weird coming home, I feel like, versus going. Like, we left at 7:30 a.m. and we got home at 2 p.m., like 2:30 p.m., yeah. You know, so
you're like, what? Still, why? Yeah. How?
But didn't hate that. It was a long day, you know, very long day of travel, and kids had school the next day, so it was nice to get some laundry done, sit, lay around, watch a movie, actually stretch out. So on the way down,
sounds
though,
like you really needed laundry done.
On the way down, the very first flight, they called my name up, leaving Portland. It was from here to LA and then LA to Cancun. And I was like, oh God, am I already getting bumped? Like, is this trip already doomed? And they called me up and they're like, we need to bump you to first class. And I look over at Kara and I was like, cause I'm kind of a nervous flyer and me being alone with the kids is not necessarily the greatest idea. And she's like, go, but you owe me
fucking huge.
And I was like, okay.
I mean, I'm such a bad flyer, and I
I know. I want to be afraid of flying. I want to have a phobia of being.
I will say after this trip and our New Orleans trip, I feel pretty good about it now. Like I don't feel as nervous as I.
I thought you were gonna say like they called me up and this mm-hmm. 6 foot bass was like, sir, you need to go. Go sit over there. You're like, I was tripping balls.
No, I after this trip, I feel pretty good about flying these days.
Great.
What about you, Brandon? What's your week been like?
Pretty good. We just spent New Year's at home. Nothing too exciting. Sunday, we had kind of an interesting experience where there's a group that meets twice a month, that it's the Eugene Men's Social Club. It's just a group of guys who, like, a lot of them work from home or, you know, just have kind of that like social isolation sort of, and just need to get out and hang out with people and meet people and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the first meeting of the month is all genders. So I guess by men's group, it's not like a men's rights thing or anything like that. Like, it's not, it's,
yeah. Alt-right men's
group. Yeah.
Just a bears group.
Like, they're not like otters welcome or whatever. Like, but
accepting new cub applicants.
Nice.
But anyway, so I went to, the first meeting of the month is all genders. So Krisha and I went, and on the invite it says, oh, we're if you're facing the bar, we're at the big table to the right. So we walk in, there's a big table to the right, there's a bunch of people sitting there, and we said, okay, well, I guess this must be the group. And I had been to this group once before, like over a year ago, and I was like, I don't remember there being this many older people, but so we went over and the people are like, oh, are you here for the meetup or whatever, something like that. Like, yeah. And so we sat down and, like, you know, we introduced ourselves to people, we were talking, chit chatting, and this guy came by and he's like, oh, my name's blah, blah, blah. I'm the head of the Eugene Munch group or something like that. And we're like, okay. And he's like, he said something like, oh, yeah, if you're interested in the lifestyle, I I'm a custom toy maker, blah, blah, blah. And I heard lifestyle, like, I was like, wait a minute. And like, first I was like, is he just...
But also, toys, go on.
And I'm like, is he...
Do you have my attention, sir?
Like, there were a lot of thoughts in my head. I was like, is he fucking with us? Is he... But then, I could tell he was serious, and...
Actual cold hard cash is how much I would pay for to have been a fly on the wall for this.
And I said, I think we're at the wrong table. We're here for the Eugene Men's Group. They're like, oh no, this is the whatever Eugene Munch, whatever something. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then like we got up and Krisha, she wanted to leave right then and there.
Of course she did. She's like, fuck it, we're going home.
And
Brandon's like, we don't want to see what toys they have.
Apparently the men's group, they normally sit at that table, but the other group was there first. But
that's like the ultimate gotcha. You get a bunch of people that are like really like young or older business professionals there for like a very like non-intrusive thing, and then you get over there and it's like, what are you gonna do about it? Fuck each other with toys. Like, oh, I'm at the wrong table.
But yeah, apparently like a munch is in like the BDSM or fetish or kink community, like a group outing where you go and like in like a neutral setting where they just meet up and chit chat about stuff, and
you pretend to be not a sick fucko.
Oh my gosh. Kidding. I mean, they were very friendly. They're very nice people. I will say, they're very welcoming. Well,
they saw you and they're like, ooh, bastards, new talent. Nice.
But it was, it was kind of funny. But I don't know. But we did find
what is it? What is a group. Munch? Well, I could look at Google, I guess.
Incognito. Yeah,
it's.
I think it's just like the whatever the verb Google? Is for them to hang out outside of.
It's a casual social gathering for people involved or interested in kink, BDSM, alternative relationship lifestyles, or fetishes. No BDSM, kink, or fetish activities take place, however.
No footsies?
Boo.
Oh, what about the people that are into feet?
Well, so, I mean, alternative. There might have been a lot of sucking and fucking, but. not at the bar we were at.
So I wonder that must their group sort of criteria must evolve regularly, because specifically the part that's alternative relationship whatever,
as welcoming as they were, I think it's open to all comers. Like, I think it's whoever wants to show up,
yeah,
can.
Yeah. That's cool.
And I don't necessarily think it was like a hookup thing, but I don't know.
Was there anybody like, as we evolve as people, I think we're all finding out that like there's a kink for everything. Like, was there like just some dude sitting there in like a fox outfit or something, or like, were there any identifiably like people that are, you know, that they're there for that?
No, I mean, like there was some kind of like older like leather daddy looking kind of guys, but like not like,
say that again, but slower.
But not like anything that like, I mean, they just look like maybe they like rode motorcycles or whatever, and
there wasn't somebody just in a gimp outfit like, hey, I'm Greg.
Ooh, now I have a story about that.
Oh, do tell.
Well, just that. So when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, doing acting at the Actors Theater of Louisville, they had an annual Dracula performance or Dracula show that ran for a couple of months. And there were a particular group of people that regularly attended, and they got really dressed up for it and stuff. And they were vampires and also something else. I forget what they were, but the women were, it was, it, it, I, I'm sure I'm not being very diplomatic in this, but the women, I think they did some sort of like dominatrix sort of lifestyle, because the women were very, I don't know, like they dressed and they were in their personality, like very voluptuous and like very outgoing and stuff. And they had these like scrawny guys that would sort of just like follow them around, and they were so thin and so frail. And they would be, they would go up to the actors and like the, I forget the name of the actor that played Dracula my year, but he's this like tall, like very thin, very sort of, I mean, he really well casted for Dracula, like attractive, but sort of spooky. And anyway, so they like, they all sort of fawned over him at the bar after the show. And what I'm guessing were their partners sort of like stood behind them sort of meekly. and it was just really interesting to watch the interaction. And they were all like corseted up and stuff. The women were corseted up. So they were like very sort of like out there, and they were loud, and they were like a lot of fun. And their partners were fun too. They were just sort of like, they were obviously the quieter of the two. Anyway, that's my story. But
so when's your next meetup, Brandon?
Well, so that's what I was gonna ask about. Well, did Christian, was Christian double. Like yeah. Christian was like, this is a mistake. And you're like, oh gosh, I it's rude to get up. Maybe we should just stay.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, we weren't sitting there very long before like you know, we realized we didn't you know mean to be there, but I would say like I'm glad that it didn't go longer, because then the longer we sat there, the more awkward it would have been.
Like, oh yeah,
it was like
did you order a drink while you were sitting there, or did you have enough time to order anything while you were sitting there? So like you had to wait for them to bring you, like, oh god, can this cheeseburger hurry up, please?
No, we hadn't ordered anything. And I mean, honestly, like it's kind of I mean, the place we were at, it's just like a normal like sports bar type place, so it's not sort of this environment that you would think you would run into a group like that.
I would think like dark wood sort of candles at tables.
Yeah. Or probably a diner.
Like like an Irish pub diner type place or something.
Or like an Irish pub, right? Yeah. When you said diner, I thought of Denny's.
What would you say the average age was?
I would say most, like, you know, probably 60% or more were 60 and over.
So you're saying I've got a chance.
And then there were a handful of people, like, probably college age, I would guess. So,
ooh. It's quite the age gap. Hey man, don't yuck somebody's yum, I guess.
But yeah, I mean there were a lot of them. There were like maybe 20 people there, and so it was a good turnout. But there's you never, I don't know, it's just kind of fun learning about the different types of people out there, I guess.
Yeah,
inadvertently.
I
mean,
I know there are also conventions for that sort of thing, and I would imagine they happen at like convention centers, but I don't know what the...
Yeah, we used to work with a guy who was an open furry, and he only ever wanted 1 week off a year, even though he was given two. And he would go to the furry convention in Pittsburgh. And it was at a convention center, like just a... But they normalize it by having like actual mascots there. It's like, come on. That's all know
hilarious. What's a famous mascot? Like... The person who's in the mascot outfit, they're like, you have to go to this like mascot convention. And he's like, I don't want to. But that's not me. I don't want it. They're like, you have to.
I don't know. I've heard there are people like, there are furries who like, it's not a sexual thing. They just like.
Yeah, those are the ones that are lying to you.
Yeah, I've heard that also. No, I think that's probably legit, you know?
No, it just keeps me warm in these harsh winters.
It was so cold.
Well, now that we learned a lot about Brandon, should we take a break and get back to some questions?
About the types of clubs that I'm joining?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Coming back for more.
Oh.
All right. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Welcome back. Check us out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. And don't forget to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Also, we have the subreddit that is taking off like wildfire.
Yep. Just like wildfire.
It's
sort of a damp, boggy sort of space.
Yeah. So check us out there. So with the first question, Jake. Jake, you've got a listener question, correct?
I do indeed. Ooh. Yeah, we've got a question from a friend of the pod and patron, Brandon S. Sent us a question, and we're gonna get at it. He just wanted to ask, if anything crazy has happened in any of your lives, like actually crazy, like serial killer that you noticed just walk by or something like that.
Hmm.
So like crazy.
I've never had
like something that you thought was like surreal or something that you were like, there's no way that just happened to me or in your direct vicinity.
I feel like
I mean, like as a kid, I got into a really bad bike accident. And like as it was happening, I remember thinking like, whoa, is this really happening? Like not like it was like painful or anything, but just like I'm like skidding along the ground and stuff like, whoa, this is weird.
You also got into one as an adult. That's what I was going to say. I remember we were riding our bikes home from UPS and you had a drink in your hand and I looked over at you and it was one of those like, we're both going and Brandon just stopped and I kept going. Like you're tired. Do you remember that?
Oh.
You went over your handlebars. Your tire went into one of the water.
Because we went to Taco Bell and I was Taco Bell. carrying a drink. So I was one handed and then I hit a storm drain and then like,
yes,
storm drains are brutal.
It was one of those, like I was looking at him sideways and I was like, hey, and it was like, he just stopped. I was like, oh,
I forgot that you guys rode your bikes to UPS.
It was right by your, it was actually right by your bro's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like anything like really, really crazy. Well, last Sunday, I sat down with this group of people, at a bar.
That's pretty good. I think I've got a pretty crazy one. So it was my second actual job in New York, and it was at this restaurant called Il Nopale. No, that's not it. Il Campagno. That's what it was. No, Il Campagna. And it was an Italian restaurant that opened
Nopale,
up.
Spanish for the like the cactus.
The cactus. Yeah. No, yeah. I was just being, I had an accent in my head and then I just went with the first accent word. So pretty offensive.
You just appropriated it for you.
But this is actually an Italian restaurant. Anyway, these guys, these three owners that were in no way related that I could tell, opened this restaurant. They pumped they said they put a couple $1 million into this place. And I guess they could have, but it was like super wide open and whatever. Anyway, they opened this restaurant. It was like super sketchy. A lot of the things that it operated didn't really add up. And these guys were like very much sort of Tony Soprano like Italian. Whether or not they were involved was really a question that we liked to joke about, but we're like, whatever. And it turned out that they were rather involved. And so technically I worked for a restaurant that was owned and operated by the mafia. And, one of the two of the fun things stories from it are, one was that the only customers that we got were family, and so we never charged anybody anything, and we got decent sized tips because no one paid for anything. And they had these like big family gatherings, so they'd like move all the tables into the middle of this huge, huge building, and they'd line up all the service and in one big central table, and then like pockets of like men would like get up, walk to the side, talk to each other, go back to the table, drink, eat, and they would keep doing this. And they eventually opened a small pizza counter at the front of the store, and I ran that for a while, and I heard these two guys talking, and for the longest time I was just sort of like making pizzas and then like listening to these guys bullshit, and they were very clearly talking about hunting. And it wasn't until the end of the conversation that they were like yucking about something, and they're like, until they start shooting back, right? Ha ha ha. And they walked away, and I was like, what?
Wait a minute.
And now reflecting on it, like, they probably were talking about hunting, but I was like, what do they mean by shooting back? And I was like, but anyway, so it also, and there was like a number of other stories that were just sort of like, hints, but I'm sorry. Oh, and then it closed out of nowhere, and just like the people dropped off the face of the earth. So I'm nearly certain it was a front for a period of time.
Is that the place that I think you said you left an umbrella in the back, or your coat or something, and you went to go get it, and there was like guys playing cards in the back or something like that?
Oh no, that's another good story. But also mafia related. That's not me though. That was the guy that I was living with. He went back, and they're like, "Hey, Chris," because he's this like 6'5" guy. They're like, "Chris, hey, come back here, come back here. We want you to meet everybody." And he like shook hands with people, and he's like, "This is so uncomfortable." I was like, "Yeah, but like classic, like you going back and like guys with like undershirts on, playing cards, smoking cigars in the back of this Italian sort of pizza shop." But I mean, you know, for all the stories and all the movies and stuff, like, New York's legit. Like, they've got some weird shit going on. That was super long-winded, but that's the craziest thing. That's one of the craziest things that I sort of partook in.
Matt, any crazy stories?
Like, nothing like wild or crazy, like serial killer or anything like that. Just typical embarrassing stories. Like, you guys were there for this one. There's a spot in Sandy called the Elusive Trout Pub, and we were teenagers still. At least I hope we were.
No, we were.
I was trying to be silly and break wind in a restaurant, and a little bit more came out, and I had to
how polite
squish my way out. And like, you ever tried driving a manual transmission on one butt cheek? Is pretty hard.
I'm realizing that most of your contributions so far
have been just defecation,
butt mud situations.
I will say this: I had a cool thing happen. I was reflecting on like the old days when I used to run. After my first daughter was born, I ran a race, a 5K up here in Yakult called the Bigfoot 5K. And Yakult's a town where they firmly believe that Bigfoot resides. And so I was 31 at the time, and it was just a generic 5K, but it was still competitive, and they were giving out trophies and stuff. And I didn't think I was any kind of shape to be competitive, but come to find out, I finished second place, only to be bested by, you know, a 14-year-old at the time. So it was one of those, like, I still got it. That's that guy. Wait, that's that one right there.
That was not all that long ago.
2016.
Well, when you say it like that, now it sounds like it was ages ago.
Almost 10 years.
Yeah.
But yeah. Nothing too wild and crazy. Some fun stuff, some embarrassing stuff.
Yeah, I've never like had like a really like a near death experience or anything like that.
You had an out of body experience on Sunday, it sounds like. You wanted to crawl out of your own skin.
Trying to get in body experience, you feel me? I split my head open once that my dad was like holding my head to stop it bleeding, and he was crying telling me that I was going to be okay. And that was like a moment in time where I'm like, oh,
that's heavy shit.
If someone says like you're gonna be okay while they're crying, and like,
especially if it's your dad's
a great guy, but he's not a big emoter. And so seeing that at a young age, I was just like, oh, I'm fucked. I'm done.
What? Your family doesn't show emotions? I'm kidding.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
I was kind of tangentially related to crazy stuff. I was talking to Krisha recently about like why there's such an instinct in people nowadays to, when they do see something crazy, to pull out their phones and start filming it. Yeah. And
it didn't
like,
happen.
Not my first, like, if there's some sort of like fire or emergency situation or people fighting or whatever, like, that's not my first reaction.
I don't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
listen,
weird.
Good. That's a couple episodes we had, what the boomers have right, or what we agree with the boomers about. That's that we can add that to that list, because I couldn't agree with you more. And actually, one of the questions
documenting
that I was
everything.
Gonna, yeah. But, well, also documenting it, but also like the social media element of it, because I think most people are pulling their phones out in order to post to social media, in order to get
clout. Viral.
Right. To
some
have
sort
some
of notoriety.
Sort of interaction with that. And then the dopamine that hits after getting a thumbs up or whatever. And yeah, anyway, I'm glad also, Brandon, that I'm in the same boat as you. I'm like, maybe someone should help.
I do still think it's important to have things documented, but at the same time, that doesn't always need to be the go-to. But also on that same page, you don't know how, you know, until that instance is over, you don't know how instrumental or poignant that time could be.
True.
Right? Be like, oh, here comes another plane. Surely that can't hit the towers. I was like, nope, it did. You know, it's like, good thing somebody was actually just like looking up at the sky filming, you know, but do you need to have a camera out for everything? No.
Well, or if somebody's like having a medical emergency or whatever, like, I don't know. Or,
you see somebody like anaphylactic and you all right, bro?
Like I
got a good sound to go over this one.
Max, I was riding the Max, and there was a lady who, she got on, and she was obviously having some sort of episode, and like, she was like on the ground and like rolling around, and like paramedics were there and like taking care of her, but and then like there are people around like filming it. It's like, why are you doing that? Like, what's the purpose of this?
Like, it's an alibi to say, bad time. This is from like, my phone. I didn't do this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a like gross new sort of behavior, I guess, that we have going on.
Well, you know, anyway. all these big budget films now have multiple cameras, like digital film. I mean, digital cameras are so, you know, affordable now. You can get a movie from a bunch of different angles.
28 years later coming out, that's all shot on an iPhone or something, you know?
Oh, is it?
I want to say that's what it is, but I remember it being very low. It's a modern film that's very low budget.
Well, the first one was supposed to be super, super low budget too.
Yeah, that one's like that one good. Of the first like filmed on a digital camera or something. Like it kind of looks and has a weird look to it.
Yeah. But anyway, no, yeah, I haven't had too many crazy things happen.
Listeners, write in your crazy shit. We've got a Reddit for this stuff.
I will say this. This is something like it's not unique to me, but I had my first surgery a couple years ago where I like had proper anesthesia. That's a wild experience. Just like being like, okay, I'm going to count backwards, and then I'm going to wake up, and it could have been 5 minutes or 5 hours. And it's like, here I am. I was like, oh shit. I got cut open. That's wild.
Anytime.
The whole, anesthesia is weird to me.
Yeah. It feels like you just like nodded off on the couch for just a second, like while watching TV. Like, it's like, I'm just going to close my eyes. Oh, and then like hours have passed when you open them up again. But it just feels like you were just nodding off.
Anytime I
damn it, they took a kidney.
Dwell on death, I'm like, oh yeah, well, when I had surgery, like, it's probably not similar, not dissimilar, and I didn't give a shit, like, once I was out, like, you know. So imagine it's gonna be something similar.
Well,
anyway, yeah, thanks for the question, Brandon. Anyway,
right in with your near-death experiences. So question I have comes to us from Ask Reddit subreddit from user that is Bryce. And they write, they write, what isn't the flex many people think it is?
Wait.
Big trucks. Big trucks.
Oh yeah, big trucks are silly.
Yeah,
Say now electric cars, specifically Tesla. It's like kind of a flex. It was like more of a flex a few years ago before.
Well, now depending on your opinion of him, like, it used to just be like, oh, it's an expensive thing. It's kind of, you know, the allure of fancy, I guess.
Yeah.
But now he's so public that people have opinions of him. So it's like you could easily just be viewed as a douche.
Yeah.
But then are people who, I mean, now would be more supportive of Elon, would they be more likely to buy a Tesla? Like, is that the Tesla customer base? Like, people who are into electric cars, is there a lot of overlap between, like, I guess, like MAGA Republicans and
a bunch of MAGA Republicans buying Teslas and
electric cars? I mean because
yeah, brother! Like, that's a good point, because there's not, I would imagine it's a smaller Venn diagram than overlap than we would imagine.
Yeah, but if you're not driving a big, loud diesel truck, it allows you to voice your opinions louder if you drive a silent electric car.
True.
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, I think there's one thing, like, if you do genuinely use a truck for work, or you have a farm or whatever, like, you have a utilitarian purpose for it, but just to have it as, like, kind of a vanity thing seems stupid.
What about education? I feel like when we were kids, you saying that you were from a particular school was kind of like, oh. And now, knowing, like, because there's been so much exposure on the corruption of, like, getting into schools and actual, like, people who go to Harvard, like, aren't any necessarily, like, better off because they went to Harvard. Like, it's not like they got that much better of an education because so much more is online and so much more is available. Would you guys say that education and, like, education sort of status and clout?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would.
I mean, particularly, like, where you go to college, I think, isn't as much of a flex as maybe it was at one point.
I think maybe even in our lifetime. Like, I think because we sort of existed in the birth of the internet as being a social thing or as being an available thing. Yeah.
I'm
going to say high fashion. I don't, like, it's like, oh, you're wearing that new thing from Louis Vuitton. And, you know, in all honesty, I do have a couple of pair of Louis Vuitton shoes that were gifts to me, but the high fashion thing is so gaudy. It's like, they just try, so hard.
Is that kind of the point, to get attention, or?
Yeah, but I just don't think it's, the flex that people hope that it is.
Yeah.
So I will say, though, that it depends on where you live, because I remember being super self-conscious in New York because the culture was very visible fashion. I mean, you know, I also worked in like really hip neighborhoods. I say every time I say hip, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. but they were like, you know,
really bussin'
real bussin' neighborhoods. Yeah, but you know, half the stores on the street were bespoke, small clothing stores that I didn't feel comfortable walking in because I couldn't afford anything. But the exclusivity and the sort of high fashion allure was definitely present, I think, in a lot of Manhattan, a lot of Brooklyn, a lot of Queens. So I don't know.
I was going to say, tell us what you think.
A couple that I thought of were being an early adopter of new technology isn't that big of a flex, because it means you're basically a guinea pig and just you're willing to spend a lot of money on untested technology. Well, I mean, not untested, but, you know. And then also, having been in a lot of fights, that big of a flex. Like, people are like, oh yeah, I fought, you know, I've been in so many fights. Like, it's like, well, then that means you have a problem, or you're the problem. But the top answer here is grind culture / burnout, destroying your body and mind for someone else is a fool's errand and shouldn't be glorified.
Which I think kind of goes back to the education, right? Like, you're so education focused, and to get that job that's going to burn you out. I was like, oh. Yeah,
that's a good point though. With media, like all really good, specifically crime shows, but like a lot of good TV and film glorify the person who is like destroys their family life in order to be like the best detective, or like, you know, not really anti-heroes, but like at least modern media.
Yeah. If you walk through that door, your family won't be here, kind of a thing.
Right. And it's like, but I've got to do my job.
Yeah. The city needs me.
Right.
Well, I feel like when we were kids, there were a lot of movies about like the workaholic dad, like who never comes to baseball games or whatever, who's always on his cell phone or always at the office or whatever. And like, I think that's been kind of a stereotype for a while, but like the next comment down below that one says, in the long run, the only people that remember you work late are your family.
Try to hold on. I did hear a quote similar to that, is like the, you know, your kids won't remember how many hours you worked, but they'll remember all the games you missed. And, you know,
yeah,
it's one of those kind of along the same lines.
That makes me want to go upstairs and give my kids a hug while they're sleeping.
cut this one early.
Sorry, kids. I can't read you bedtime stories. I have to record a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That soon won't be the flex that it used to be.
This one I think is really good. This person says, never changing your opinion. Some people take that as sticking to their guns or being principled or whatever, but they never have to admit when they're wrong, which is nice for their ego. That really just means they don't learn from their mistakes.
I like that one too.
And then this person says, and also that they don't learn from new information. It's like slamming and locking the doors of the only organ you have that helps you grow. And I think that's a big one.
If you don't like it, you can get out.
Never taking a day off work.
Perfect attendance. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these are like,
actually,
I know somebody who works for a certain brand where everything only costs a dollar, and boasts about his perfect attendance for like the last 8 years of his employment. And I shit you not, it's like a crinkled like piece of printout paper, and they're like, perfect attendance. And I was like, they don't care about you, don't care so much. Like,
well, that's what's really frustrating, is that there's that yeah, that exists a lot. I mean,
different generation for sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I am afflicted by some of that, and for what? Like, you know, I remember when Anna and I talk about it a lot, but when my oldest was born, he was extremely premature, and I ended up not taking FMLA because I was like, oh, but my company, like my, you know, I found purpose. And I think, you know, there was probably like a level of like escapism of like going to work. But yeah, upon reflection, like I wish I would have fucked all the way off of work, because like, who gives a shit? They certainly don't. and they'll replace me.
I'll also say in their like work titles, and what people want to say that they achieved for themselves. I'm going to say that doesn't, not many people care anymore, or at least I try not to. Like I've gone down this path of still not the best at it, but when you meet somebody new, our inherent nature is to just flock to, oh, what do you do? All right, it's like a muscle memory. Yeah. And I try to actively not do that and let them bring it up, just because I don't want it to be a,
when I feel like so
what you do does
now,
not define who you are.
Like so many job titles are like almost intentionally vague and confusing in a way that like steers people away from asking more about their job. Like, or they just don't make sense. It's like, oh, well, I'm a quality assurance analyst or whatever, like blah, blah, blah. Like, support technician, analyst, whatever. And it's like, I don't know what that is or what that means. Or
yeah,
I don't know. I start to get a little bit of a aluminum hat for this sort of stuff, but like, it's all bullshit. It's all fucking, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Well,
you know?
Brandon, when we were at the bank, they would give out titles like, oh, you've been here 6 months? Sure, you're an SVP. It's like, how? Oh, now you're VP, SVP. S to the V of the P for the, yeah, it's like
assistant to arbitrary the manager.
Yeah. And then they caught wise and laid everybody off that they gave all those titles to, because they realized they're mid-level management that doesn't actually do anything. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily like a VP of, I don't know. I think they're kind of arbitrary titles at this point, not a flex like they used to be.
Here is one that says, driving a giant, beautiful $90,000 pickup truck and staying awake at night trying to figure out how you're going to make your rent that's due next week.
Damn.
But,
damn.
At least they got the income levels right of saying $90,000 truck and you have to pay rent.
Being the person
that tracks
says... Being the person who says it how it is, more often than not, it's just a nice way of saying, I'm a tactless bitch.
Nice.
Keeping it real.
The title tactless bitch reminds me of Debbie's a whore.
Oh, I hope Debbie's doing all right.
Yeah, I hope Debbie's good.
New year, new you. Still a bitch. Or sorry, a whore. Still but
a all right.
All right.
What's the next question?
This is from the subreddit No Stupid Questions, from user Oxymoronic, and it says, guys, do you actually need the belt to keep your pants up? As a woman, I've literally never needed a belt to keep my pants up. Most other women I know view them as an accessory, not a necessity. I thought I'd ask everyone, just wearing them for fun? Mine's definitely a necessity.
Mine keeps my shit in order.
I have started, have you guys seen those bro belts? That's what they're called. They're like
no
Velcro. I'm out here experimenting in pants
for you, man.
Suspending technology, but they
wait, is this a built-in belt?
That's
a, no, it's like... not built in. So it's like basically two Velcro straps that go on the side, like through your belt loops on the side. So it doesn't go all the way around.
My kids
so
have,
oh, so you have to
like that, Brandon.
Yeah.
So if you
my
have
kids
a belly,
have that, they have little buttons on the inside. Yeah.
So if you have a belly, your belly doesn't rub on the belt buckle. So it's, I don't know, they're kind of nice.
Wait, weren't you playing around with suspenders for a little while though?
Yeah. It's called a bro belt. It's like two things that like attach the Velcro.
I did
are you looking it up?
Yes.
I just got a new belt actually. And it clicks. It goes into the buckle and it goes, and then you just release it. So it doesn't like, I've always struggled with when you're putting like the thing into the hole and it just like busts the leather. I feel like every belt only lasts
powerful.
Oh,
I feel like a belt only lasts like at least a year. So I found this one and like it clicks in. So there's nothing like going through leather. It's great.
Well, if you have a belly, the bro belt is much more comfortable than a traditional belt.
so they grab on to just a couple of belt loops and hug them in tight.
Yeah, just cinch your pants in at the sides.
Yeah, my kids definitely have pants like that. So on the inside, the jeans that they have, you can adjust the. I think for kids, it's so that you can wear pants longer.
But it's not because they're fat 40-year-olds.
They act like it sometimes.
They do act like it sometimes. But that's really funny. And
wait, so are you doing the bro belt and suspenders?
Nobody, these pants aren't coming off in a hurricane.
I just don't know. Suspenders. I don't know why it doesn't make sense to my Peabody brain that it works for a 7-year-old kid, but not a 40-year-old man. Like my kids have these, but I can't wrap my head around it as an adult for some reason. It's on the outside or the inside of the pant?
It's on the outside. Look it up. It'll explain everything. It'll answer all your questions if you just look at a picture.
A cursory Google search will suffice.
This is the most Midwest shit I've ever seen.
You know what? I bet you could get those with holsters.
I was literally going to ask, do you wear your cell phone? You got a license to wear your cell phone with that, dear champ?
Sometimes it does kind of feel like that.
Yeah, I don't know, Brandon. I'm looking at one. It's called the No Knuckle Elastic Belt for Men. Seems like this would... you'd be able to whip these bad boys off and go into your munch community with some handcuffs.
Yeah, I need to get undressed.
There's nothing sexier than that sound.
Let me take off my belt, baby.
Just let me slip into something more comfortable.
Well, so... some of the comments, like, you know, are silly, but some actually make sense. It's we got one here from Reward If Flossed. Men don't have the same anatomy as women. Unfortunately, we don't usually have hips and sometimes not even much of a butt to keep them pants up. We can use suspenders instead of a belt. I think that's my problem. Is like, I have a Hank Hill ass, so, and I don't have hips. So,
yeah, pants will like slide right off, or like if I don't wear a belt, then it looks like I have a pant load in, like I like, or it looks like I'm wearing a diaper or something.
I used to need a belt when I would wear looser pants, but now I still wear a belt because I tuck my shirt in when I go to work, and there's nothing more awkward than a tucked in button up shirt without a belt.
Ooh, do you wear your pants above your belly button or below?
Below. Well, below.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Are you there, Brandon?
Hit me quite yet.
You going up and over the veranda?
No. That, I think for fat guys, that always looks bad. Like, you see pictures of like Chris Christie.
Reminds me of the 20s.
Like, yeah. It looks... Yeah, it just does. I don't think that's a very good look for a fat guy, is pulling your pants up high.
I will say, accountability measure.
Even big.
The minute one of us starts doing it, we have to promise each other somebody will say something.
Say that again.
Brandon's like, I'm going out for a stroll today, and if your pants are up to your nipples, gonna say it. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen anytime soon. Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, there we gave a woman some insight into our very complex world of being a man. We need belts.
Very complex.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Belts are useful.
That's a good one. I like that.
Is that a question women genuinely have?
But are they
Women? They're not functional. They might be kind of functional for the most part, but
I think they're more accessories.
Actually, you know what? When we say women, but like, there's plenty of women who work in like you know, like labor, and I bet you need that.
What?
You need like pants that are you're able to move around in, so not super tight, but then also like durable. So like basically jeans. If you're wearing jeans out a lot, you'll need a belt, I guess. Sure. Maybe not. I don't know.
Is there a female version of a bro belt?
Riveting stuff.
Well, thanks for your fashion advice, Jake.
Anytime, everybody. You're welcome. Patreon.
And thank that's you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. If you want to watch us, head over to YouTube, youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. And join our listener, Brandon, and send in a question or comment to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com. We will read it on the air. Or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And don't forget to rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Godspeed. Keep them pants up.
See you at the munch.